Looking for a new ATV or side-by-side without emptying your wallet? I figured you'd say yes. CF Moto manufactures ATV and side-by-sides that'll take on anything you throw at them. All premium features come standard, from the custom paint to the 3,000-pound winch, giving you the total package without the inflated price tag. So you're probably asking yourself, where can I find the CF Moto ATV and side-by-side? Cycle Savers at 345 East Main has several new models in stock. Stop by today. Financing available. Cycle Savers is an authorized CF Moto dealer. Operators must be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license. Go to ATVsafety.org.
Why does Spectrum Paint only sell high-end paint products and supplies? The answer to that question is you, the consumer. Spectrum Paint believes in doing the job right, so you don't spend double the amount of money doing the same job twice. So resurface that deck, paint that new remodeled kitchen, and the new treehouse you just built for your children. Let the experts, Art, Eric, and Kim, get you the right materials and, most importantly, the knowledge to do your next project right the first time. Spectrum Paint, 80 South 100 West, just over the railroad tracks.
The Spartans play here.
Jesse Barnett, number 55. Dayton Bailing, number 58.
Zion Gibson, number 9.
Back to the action on the field. KRPX 95.3 The Peak and KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Handoff up the middle goes nowhere for Emory to set up third down and a long three with 11:45 to play in the first half. Got to get to the 43-yard line, ball just inside that 40, about the 40-and-a-half yard line for Emory.
Yeah, for Zion Gibson, two carries, 16 yards, both on that outside jet sweep. So let's see what they do on third and three if they get him going in motion once again and get him the ball.
He's been explosive. They've been able to seal the gap as well. Trips to the left this time for Emory. Four-man front for the Dinos. Stilson in the shotgun set. Jensen to his left. Emory moving right to left on the dial. Stilson, little option. Pitches it late. Ball's loose. Picked up by Carbon. This is going to go to the house. Colin Lewis picks up the fumble, and it's 9-0 Carbon. Colin Lewis returns the fumble 38 yards for a touchdown.
Once again, miscommunication as Stilson tries to pitch the ball too late. Looked like he was confused if he wanted to just drop and go up the middle. He decided at the last second to pitch the ball. The pitch isn't there. Colin Lewis picks it up and rumbles into the end zone, and Carbon leads 9-0 on the first possession of the second quarter.
Precision has to be there on the option. It was not. Carbon took advantage of it, and big Colin Lewis picked it up and was off to the races. The Dinos lead 9-0 with 11:09 to play in the opening half, and now some confusion on the special teams unit. There's a timeout.
But, yeah, the pitch has to be on time late. Indecision on what to do, and at the last second, it looked like the ball got tipped on the pitch and it took a weird bounce backwards. Colin Lewis, no one around, and picks it up, and he walks into the end zone. And this place is on Carbon sideline on fire right now.
I understand when you're running the option, Kyson Stilson had an opportunity to split the defense and then pitch it. And if it works, it's going for big yardage.
Because no one's on the outside.
Nobody's on the outside. Right, it didn't work.
I think the ball got tipped. So all Colin has to do is just pick that ball up. There's no Emory offensive players in the area, and that's a touchdown.
And the Dinos have an opportunity to extend their lead to 10. Well, got to take care of the football. Both coaches said that was going to be key in this game, and now Emory's going to have to rely on their offense to get the ball moving, because Carbon's defense has managed to strike, and the defense, let's be real, has played Emory's offense perfect at this point, forcing field position in favor of Carbon.
Yeah, Carbon's defense has been really great so far early in this first half.
Jones holds the kick. It's down. It's no good. Connor Fawcett missed it to the right, but the damage is done. It is a two-possession game. 9-0 Carbon when we return on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, KOAL, and ETV 10. Back in 30 seconds.
With all of the electronic devices running nonstop in your house, chances are you regularly go over your data limit. Did you know there is really no need to keep overage fees? For existing Emory Telecom customers, just $10 more per month gives you an unlimited data package. No more overages, no more worry. Just fast and dependable internet that you've come to expect from Emory Telecom. To upgrade your internet service, give them a call today at 613-9605. Ask about how you can save even more on your monthly bill. Emory Telecom, keeping you connected.
The Dinos play here.
Tristan Stamatakis, junior, number 71.
Connor Fawcett, senior, number 8.
Colin Lewis, senior, number 39, running back.
On 95.3 FM, The Peak.
Carbon leads 9-0 with 11:09 to play in the first half. Carbon will now kick off to Emory, left to right. Travis, the defense just scored for Carbon. If you're Emory, you're in a 9-0 hole. What do you tell Kyson Stilson if you're Coach John Fumalo?
Shake it up. There's a lot of football left. You still have all this 11 minutes of the second plus another half. I know Stilton's down on himself. He knows he made a mistake on that pitch, but come out, get some points on the board, and everything's going to be okay. So he's a tough kid. He'll rebound back.
Connor Fawcett to boot it from the 40. This one straight ahead, takes a bounce at the 20. Zion Gibson lets it roll. The ball is loose on the turf. Gibson picks it up now. The 8-yard line, he's to the 10. Gibson makes one would-be tackler miss. A flag comes out. Gibson to the right side, able to get the ball to the 15-yard line. Flag is out back at the 8. This may be against Emory, which would be a half the distance to the goal situation, which once again, the field position would in fact favor Carbon.
Special teams are going to be huge in this game, and so far they're playing dividends on this one. Emory lets a bouncing ball bounce instead of picking it up. Picks up short yardage, and then there's a penalty. Usually when that happens, you're going to have a block in the back.
White Hat getting the ruling from the side judge. It is a block in the back against Emory. You're 2-for-2 tonight on the penalties with 11:02 to play in the first half. And like I said, half the distance to the goal, so Emory's going to have the ball at the 8-yard line.
And Carbon's defense can come up huge now with Emory backed up against their goal line. I'd send one of those corners on the blitz and maybe see if you can get the Stilson.
Now, with that being said, I think at the 8-yard line, with the offense slow up to this point for Emory, Coach Fumalo may try to test the waters deep with James Bowman on the outside because he is drawing man-to-man coverage right now by the defensive back Christian Manzo. Watch that.
Yeah, do it right now in this first down possession. Try to establish Bowman on, you know, a little slant route or a post.
There's no safety help either. Jalen Dennis follows Zion Gibson. There's a snap and a pass to Bowman. 15, 20, 25, 30, brought down at the 31. Jalen Dennis with a touchdown-saving tackle because Bowman ran a quick slant. Stilson was on the money with it, and Bowman has that breakaway speed. That changes field position. Ball up to the 31.
Good job by Stilson. That's how you shake that off. You come out. Two-step drop. You get Bowman on a slant. You get out of the shadow of your own end zone all the way up to the 31. So good pitch and catch. And Bowman, so far this season, he's been really good for Emory on the outside.
Dennis, the safety for Carbon. He's shadowing Zion Gibson right now. Here's the pitch to Gibson. Brings it to the left side. 30-yard line to the 35. Rolls over the pile of Carbon defenders and gets it to the 36-yard line.
This is the Emory offense. It looks like they're woken after giving up that touchdown on the defense to Carbon. Looks like their offense is rolling now, and that's how you get established, you know, a positive play on first down, move the chains, and now you got a 2nd and 5.
Nice sportsmanship by Dennis and Gibson, helping each other up off of the takedown. Ball again at the 36. Emory moving right to left on their own side of the field. Trips to the right. Bowman drawing man-to-man coverage once again on Manzo on the left side. All the safety help is over to the right. Let's see if Stilson takes advantage of it again.
Now, middle of the field is wide open.
Dump off screen pass to Rance Jensen, who dropped the football, and Jensen had daylight ahead of him. The screen worked to perfection. He had two blockers out in front, including, I believe it was Ashton Rowley. He had a full head of steam as well as a blocker, but unfortunately Jensen couldn't haul it in.
Yeah, Rance had the catch at the 37, and all he had to do is sidestep one defender, and he's probably up to the 45, 50-yard line. Instead, we have a penalty flag as well. It's going to be on Emory, I think.
Right now, Carbon's defense getting their decision from the, well, getting their decision on if they want to decline or accept the penalty. It will be 2nd down if they take the penalty.
Yeah, block in the back.
Holding. Carbon will decline it. 3rd down and 5.
I'd decline it too.
I would too. Right now, Emory has to get to the 41. Ball is sitting at the 36. It is 3rd and 5. Maybe 2-down territory for Emory, the way the offense is played.
You got to spark it, yeah. It probably is 2-down territory. And rely on your defense to come up with a stop.
Stilson rolls to the right, looking. There's nowhere to go. He's got to reverse back to the opposite side. Avoids 1B tackler. Throws it over the top to James Bowman. Caught! Bowman at the 50. Into Carbon territory. Kyson Stilson goes to the right. Flushed back to the left. Chased by Lee Moon. Fires over the top of the defense, and James Bowman comes down with a catch to move the sticks. 1st and 10, Emory at midfield.
The quarter number 4 for Carbon. Brandon August just got turned around, and all Stilson has to do is loft it over the top. It's exactly what he does. Bowman goes up, just like last week, comes down with the football. Huge gain on 3rd down for Emory. 1st down all the way up to the 50.
Emory trying to change momentum in this game. Ball right now with a 50-yard line. Stilson back into the shotgun set. Jensen lines up to the left. Carmen with a four-man front, three linebacker, 4-3 set. Motion man is Gibson. Quick pass going to the right side. Stilson fires incomplete. It hit Jeremy Brandon in the hands. The sophomore couldn't haul it in. And to be honest, it might not have been a bad thing that it falls incomplete because Brandon was going to get clocked as soon as he caught that football.
Yeah, that play's going to go nowhere. Probably lose yards, so very fortunate it's incomplete on that little out route.
Second down and 10. 9 minutes and 45 seconds to play in the first half. By far the most effective drive of the game for Emory. Stilson will remain in the shotgun. Rarely will you see him under center. Three wideouts to the right, one to the left. Once again, man-to-man coverage on James Bowman. Safety help on the left, on the right side, I shall say. Hand off to Rance Jensen. Jensen able to break through. He's to the 45, up to the 40. That'll be enough to move the sticks. First and 10, Rance Jensen on a gain of 10. His biggest run of the evening up to this point.
Lee Moon, number 53 of Carbon, in on the tackle, slowing down Rance Jensen. But that's Rance's best run so far early on in this game. Picks up another first down.
9:37 and counting to play here in the first half.
Uses his strength and his power because he was being drugged down by 2, 3, 4 Carbon defenders.
Clock is ticking. Stilson in the shotgun once again. He's got Jensen to his right, trips to the right. Bowman down to the left. Hand off to Jensen. He goes right up the middle once again. Positive yardage, gain of 2 to set up second down and 8. Ball just shy of the 35 to the 37-yard line.
That's a 6 carry right now for Rance, around 12 yards.
It was a slow start for Rance. Had some negative plays in that first quarter. That has not been the case here. Emory starting to find momentum in the trenches in this game. A four-man front for Carbon. A little bit bigger, definitely more experienced. And now Emory finding their way. Trips to the right. Bowman to the left. Jensen to the left of Stilson.
Slant.
Slant once again to Bowman. Pass was tipped, caught by Bowman. He's up to the 35, 34-yard line. So a positive gain, and boy, that was dangerous once again. A lot of congestion. Bowman, just a quick, just took a step out, turned back, boom. I mean, it's a quick wheel route type, or it's a quick in route, I should say.
Yeah, ball tipped. Very fortunate that Carbon, when that ball popped up in the air, they didn't come down with it. But Bowman comes up with it. They pick up a minimal gain. It makes it 3rd and 7, 8:31 left.
It'll be about 3rd and 5. Be about 3rd and 5.
4, yeah, 3rd and 4. So you can go, this is 2-down territory, so 2 plays to Rance, you can go up the middle, you can go to the outside, but I would run the ball with Rance twice and pick up the first down, or try to pick up the first down.
Ball right now is placed at the 34. Emory's got to get just past that 30-yard mark. Now there is a Carbon injury on the field right now. Emory is going to move to their sidelines. Unfortunately, from my view, I can't see who the injured dino is.
But also watch for Zion. You know, the jet sweep's been successful, and he's getting to the outside. So Emory has some options, but on this third down, the first option should be running the football.
So what's worked for Emory on this offensive drive? What's been the difference?
They got the long pass play. That helped. They're getting to the outside. So the passing game with the short, you know, slant and little post routes are working. So the short game on the pass and not trying to take, you know, huge chances downfield. But running the football is where they are at their best.
8:31 to play in the opening half. The injured dino who is now walking off the field was Gunnar Jeffs. Ball is at the 33-yard line for the Spartans as we resume play. Third down and 4. 8.5 to play in the first half. Again, the most effective drive of the game for Emory. 2 wideouts to the right, 2 to the left. Justice with Bowman in at the slot on the left side. Bowman's the motion man. It's a quick pitch to Bowman. He's got a little bit of room to run. Closes daylight, gets past the 30, first down and more. Bowman still on his feet to the 25-yard line, brought down at the 23. James Bowman made it happen on his own around the right side. It was a patient run, picked his spot, moved the sticks. James Bowman once again on that jet sweep around the outside.
James Bowman's having a great first half. Stilton and him, their chemistry's down, And on that one, once again, on third down, Bowman comes up with a huge first down play.
We talk about the youth of Emory. Next season, Zion Gibson, who will have a full year under his belt in the Spartan system along with Bowman, will both be seniors, and that'll be a dynamic force out of the backfield. You can guarantee that.
Yeah, two weapons on the offensive side for Emory. Watch out.
Ball to 23 for Emory. They are threatening close to the red zone on Carbon's side. Hand off to Jensen. Jensen had some room to run. Gets inside the 20 up to the 18-yard line. Big pickup once again for Emory on first down. That's been key throughout this contest. Move the sticks on first down, or move the ball marker, I should say, on first down. Inside the 20, down to the 18, gain of 5 for Rance Jensen.
Great drive by Emory. Rebounding back after you give up that touchdown to drive it all the way in Carbon territory, threatening to put up points here right before half.
It is a time-consuming drive up to this point for the Spartans. Second down and 5.
Got to watch for Rance on the little wildcat formation. He took the ball an awful lot inside the red zone last week off the snap.
Trips to the left. Simple handoff to Jensen. Nothing up the middle. He tried to reverse field. Can't do it. Carbon defense manages a collapse of the backfield. There's three tacklers in on Rance Jensen. He maybe got back to the line of scrimmage, but got nowhere else. Riker Larson on the initial hit.
Riker Larson met him right at the line, went toe-to-toe with him, bounced him backwards. So makes a 3rd and 6 at the 19 with 6:54 left.
Clock is moving. Set at a loss of 1. It's about 3rd and 6 here for Emory. We're looking across the field. Ball is at the 20.
They might need a couple more yards to get in Brock Winter field goal range.
They're close. They're definitely close.
They're right on the cusp.
4 wide out set for Stilson out of the spread formation. Gibson is the motion man. Comes all the way over to join Jensen. And we have a flag from the back judge. And this will be against. Well.
Because he got set. I don't know what they're
going to
call.
I was going to say it was a delay of game. It was close. Now, there is no play clock, but, boy, that took a lot of time, and I'll tell you why that's so huge. 3rd and 6 is now 3rd and 11, Travis.
And you probably back out of field goal range, so it's going to be 2-down territory. So, yeah, 3rd and 11 now. Now you're going to go deep in the playbook.
Timeout taken on the field by Emory. We'll take it as well. 6:28 to play in the first half. Carbon 9, Emory nothing. We'll see if the Spartans can get some points on this drive when we return.
It is a timeout taken by Emory. Timeout.
Parents versus kids, dad and brother versus mom and sis. However you divide up your teams, family time is well spent at Gateway Lanes in Helper. Come enjoy open bowling any day of the week. Open until 11 on Friday and Saturday and 5 on Sunday. And for even more fun, try out their disco bowling every Thursday night. With a great snack bar and concessions available, you won't even have to worry about dinner. For a night of entertainment the entire family will enjoy, head to Gateway Lanes on Main Street in Helper.
The Spartans play here.
Jordan Elker, 84.
Ron Gordon, number 13.
Seth Justice, 18.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
No penalty. Emory got the timeout in time. The referees decided, so it is 3rd and 6. Stilson to throw. Goes over the top of the defense. Has Bowman at the corner of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Flag is out back at the 10-yard line. Completely away from the play, but this will be against Emory, and that will negate a 21-yard touchdown pass to James Bowman.
Tyson
That's going to
Stilson
negate it.
Stilson baited the corner. The corner bit. All he has to do is just loft it up over there.
Illegal man downfield against Emory.
Great play call by Emory out of the timeout, and James Bowman, all he had to do is catch the football, and he's in the end zone, but illegal man downfield wipes out that touchdown. Back-to-back penalties on Emory, and they're really in a hole now.
Well, it is now 3rd and 11. That's where we thought we were going to be. Coach Famalo wanted an explanation from the official.
I think that was a clean play, Jordan. From my view, it looked like he was set on the line of scrimmage.
Well, it definitely did not affect. It was on the opposite side of the field. Opposite side of the field, Bowman was able to go over the top of the defense. I mean, he is a dangerous, dangerous player. Carbon has gone man-to-man with him multiple times tonight. And I believe it was Sawyer Jones who he was able to break through on the far side. 3rd down, 11 now for Emory. Ball's at the 26-yard line. Stilson is back in the shotgun set. 3 wideouts to the left, 1 to the right. Carbon with a 4-man front. Stilson back to pass. Has time. Over the top of the defense. Tries to throw it. Incomplete.
Almost had it.
And that was not a bad look at all. Tried to find Jeremy Brannon. Jalen Dennis on the defense. Ball falls down to the turf, and it is 4th and 11 outside of Brock Winter's field goal range. I would have to believe they may try it here. I was talking to Gary Arrington, special teams coordinator, before the game. I said, were you comfortable in kicking? He says, I've seen Brock kick a 52-yarder cleanly in practice. And we know he's one of the best kickers.
He's a really good kicker, so they're going to attempt it here.
They're going to try it. It'll be officially a 40-yard field goal. Now, remember, in high school, all you have to do is get the ball past the goal line, and the ball will come out to the 20-yard line.
But this is a huge swing for Emory. I think it's points on the board and only trail by 6.
There's the snap. It's clean. The kick is up. It is a line driver. Does he have the distance? He does. Brock Winter boots a 40-yard field goal to put Emory on the board. 9-3. Carbon with the lead, and we have a classic brewing here in the first half. 6:14 to play in the second. We'll take a 30-second break, and we are back right after this.
Why does Spectrum Paint only sell high-end paint products and supplies? The answer to that question is you, the consumer. Spectrum Paint believes in doing the job right, so you don't spend double the amount of money doing the same job twice. So resurface that deck, paint that new remodeled kitchen, and the new treehouse you just built for your children. Let the experts, Art, Eric, and Kim, get you the right materials and, most importantly, the knowledge to do your next project right the first time. Spectrum Paint, 80 South 100 West, just over the railroad tracks.
The Spartans play here.
Grant Jensen, 32.
Tegan Chrisman, number 53.
Tyson Stilson, number 12.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Emory will now kick to Carbon. The score 9-3. Carbon up by 6. Both teams have converted field goals. 6:14 to play in the second. Winter lines it up from the 40. Jalen Dennis back to return the kick. He stands at his own 5-yard line. Loving this game, Travis. This is a classic up to this point.
This is a lot of fun. James Bowman, we thought had a touchdown. We had a penalty. Brock Winter comes out, kicks a 41-yard field goal. James Bowman has 4 catches, 44 yards early in this first half. He's been key for Emory, the offense spark plug.
Winter kicks it to the right side. It dies at the 5. Bowman picks it up. He's to the 15. Bowman past the 20, or excuse me, Dennis past the 20. Boy, Bowman and Dennis, they share a lot of similarities in the style that they play. Jalen Dennis able to get the ball out past the 20. 22 is where Carbon will officially start this drive.
Jalen Dennis looked like he had a seam, and Emory special team comes up big on that one. 6:08 left at the 22. Carbon starts this drive. Good job, though, by Carbon's defense, holding Emory to only a field goal.
Well, we've seen positives from both defenses. Yeah. Remember, Emory managed to come up big on a short field for Carbon to force a field goal, the lone touchdown of this game.
This is a defensive battle.
It was. And the defensive touchdown, that's been the difference of the game if you were just joining us. Noah Jones takes the pitch on the option, gets it to Riddick McGlory out to the 26-yard line for a gain of 5, but a flag is down in the backfield.
Easy call.
Legal shift.
A lot of movement on the offensive line. Players not getting set. So that penalty is going to back Carbon up. So we got a lot of penalties on both teams backing them up on first down.
First down has been so crucial, especially in a defensive battle. You got to make sure you move that ball marker forward.
Ball on the 17-yard line. First and 15.
So first and 15 now, Jordan, at the 17. So we'll see what Emory does defensively. They try to get some pressure on the outside and try to flush Noah out of the pocket.
Jones once again, the quarterback. Deep back is Colin Lewis out of the veer option. Fires across the center of the field. Boy, it was nearly picked off. James Bowman tried to jump the route. Instead, it is a completed pass working to the left side to Sawyer Jones for a minimal pickup. So a gain of 5 for Carbon. They get the 5 back that they lost on the illegal shift. Bowman was a half step away from coming up with a pick 6.
Just a second late from getting that pick 6 like you talked about. So now it's 2nd and 10 for the Carbon Dinos.
Big play, 5.5 to go in the first half. Again, the difference has been a Colin Lewis fumble return for a touchdown for the Dinos. They lead 9-3. Jones, back to pass, sets up the screen to Colin Lewis. He's got all kinds of room. 35, 40, 45, 50. Shoestring tackle, saving a touchdown. Once again, it was Ashton Rowley coming up with a big play. Otherwise, Lewis has 6 more for Carbon. Move the sticks. Dino ball at the 50-yard line.
Screen play works on that one, and Emory, instead of tackling, kind of just pushed Colin. pushed his momentum forward, and he picked up 10 more yards off that push. So Carbon at the 50-yard line with 5:10 left in the second quarter.
That play developed beautifully. Clock is moving, 5:05. Jones back into the pistol beer set. Lewis is the deep back. Emery with a four-man front, maybe feeling fatigued. The defense has spent a lot of time on the field. Riker Larson takes the handoff. Larson gets to the 45-yard line. It'll set up second down and five. Carbon again having success on the ground. Travis, again, I think it's fatigue at this point in time for that Emery defensive front.
I do, too. It looks like Emery's on the heels on their back feet. Carbon's offensive line. They are more physical than Emery. They're getting the push up front and allowing Carbon to get their momentum going forward. So I agree with you. Fatigue looks like it's settled in for the Spartans.
Their option set once again. Lewis the deep back. Larson and Dennis in the backfield. Larson's going to take it again around the left side. He's got his full head of steam. Collapse. Emery able to close that window quickly, and a minimal pickup by Larson sets up third down and four. Ball at the 43-yard line on Emery's side of the field.
And Emery defensively, they got to figure out a way to get in the backfield and try to get Noah, you know, moving out of the pocket. When he has time to sit there set in the pocket, he's had success. So Emery's defensive line's got to get some push on that offensive line.
Big play for both teams, third down and four.
But give Carbon's offensive line credit. All those guys up front, very physical and going to work.
Pistol Veer, Jones is going to throw. Has some time, looking across the center of the field. Intercepted! Jeremy Brannon steps up for the pick across the center of the field, inside his own 30 at the 26-yard line. Brannon, the sophomore, steps up, reads the route, and picks off Jones.
Yeah, Noah on that one, it looked like the wide receiver ran the wrong route. Noah flicked it into a tight window, tight coverage, and right into the hands of an Emory Spartan defender. So now Emory has possession at the 25, a chance to take the lead.
We can look at points off of turnovers being key in this game. Emory has 3 minutes and 39 seconds to capitalize, but only one time out of their back pocket. Had to use one to prevent a delay of game. Used one in the first half as well, or in the first quarter as well. Stilson in the shotgun set. Gibson, the short motion man, a handoff to Rance Jensen. He's to the 30-yard line. Big pickup of roughly 7 yards on first down, pending the spot, but Jensen is finding his groove, and now we're looking at second and three. Emory ball from the 31-yard line.
Emery, Kyson Stilton, 6-7, 48 yards. The rushing attack, James Bowman, 2 carries, 16 yards. Rance Jensen, 8 carries, 20 yards. And Zion Gibson, 3 carries, 21 yards.
Important to note that the majority of the yardage from Jensen has come on these last two drives. 3:05 to play in the first half. Again, second and three for Emery. Gibson is the motion man. He's going to stack the right side. Jensen, the ball carrier once again. He's up to the 35-yard line, past the 35 to the 36, and that will be enough to move the sticks. I remember talking to Rance at the beginning of the season. You were with me. I said, how many touches are too many touches? He said, no such thing.
I want the ball every time. And he's a workhorse, and he is very important to this Emory offense. Once Rance has the success where he's getting those chunk yards, that average of 4.6, 4.7 yards per carry, what he averaged last year, it opens up Emory's passing game. And you can see that how it worked last week with James Bowman.
2:42 to play in the first half. First and 10 for Emory. They have the ball at their own 36. Low snap. Stilson picks it up, and he is sacked in the backfield back at the 30. Low snap on the ground. Stilson managed to pick it up to once again avoid disaster for Emory, but the damage is done. It sets up second down and 16.
Yeah, the bad snap that hobbled around on the ground. Stilson picks it up. Has nowhere to go, so Carbon's defense backs up Emery once again off Emery's own misdoing.
Now, Emery has had success going vertical down the field outside the numbers. On second and 16 with 2:07 to play, we'll see if Coach Famala wants to test it out. There is man-to-man coverage on the right side for Bowman. Two wideouts to the left. Stilson has time. Looking. Threw the football as he was going down to the ground. Did have a receiver in the vicinity. Lee Moon able to get in the backfield to knock down Stilson. Fortunately for Stilson, Rance Jensen was in the vicinity. Otherwise, that's intentional grounding.
Yeah, Stilson, from my point of view, I thought it was. And at the last second, I see he threw it at the feet of Rance Jensen. So very fortunate not to get the penalty off the intentional grounding. So now it's third and 16 with 1:54 left. If you're Emory, you got to be very careful.
Well, I was going to ask you, how creative do you get here? Do you play it safe and just hand it up the middle and punt and go down into halftime trailing 9-3, or do you try something downfield?
I play it safe.
Emery has three wideouts to the left, one to the right. Stilson is going to throw the football. He has time. Now he's going to flush out to the left side. Fires downfield to Brandon. Brandon tried to climb the ladder, couldn't grab it. He would have made an over-the-top-of-the-head grab, but the ball falls out of bounds through his hands, and it's fourth and 16. Stilson had time. Pass was well shy of the first down sticks. Brandon had to come up to about the 40. Needed to get to the 46. And the clock does stop. Yes.
So that pass play allows Carbon to get the clock stopped at 1:47 left. I believe they still have, what, two timeouts left.
Now remember, Emory will get the ball to start the second half as well. Brock Winter back to punt this football. Stands at his own 16. He'll punt right to left on the radio dial. Jalen Dennis standing at his own 30. There's the snap. Carbon brings it. Blocked punt. This ball is in the end zone. Jensen is able to fall on it, and now he's going to try to run it out. Why he did that, I'm not sure. You probably would want to take the two. Instead, he runs it out to the 10, 15-yard line. Well, Carbon has a minute 35 to get six. Your thoughts, would it have been better for Jensen to kick it out of the back of the end zone or fall on it in the end zone, or do you like the fact that he tried to make something happen?
I'm actually okay with it, Jordan. I'll tell you why, because I have faith in their defense can force him to a three and out. Yeah, if they kick a field goal, I guess you lose a point off that. But
sure,
I'm going to take my chance with the defense and force Carbon to make a play downfield, and maybe Carbon turns the ball over. So I'm okay with him picking it up and running it out.
Ball is at the 15. Carbon could not ask for anything more than this. Well, the minute 35
special
to play
teams
in the first half. Special teams have been the difference.
I thought Rance was just going to kick it, you know, in the back of the end zone, but instead he picked it up. He had a little bit of daylight.
He did.
Carbon's there to slow him up, so we'll see if it works out in favor of Carbon. Me and Percent, okay with what he did.
95 seconds to play in the first half. Veer option. Jones is going to throw. Tries the end zone. LeChaminade is in the vicinity. Makes the grab, and he's out of bounds at the 3-yard line. And the Dinos are riding momentum. LeChaminade climbs the ladder over the top of Bron Gordon for the catch. And with a minute 29 to play in the first half, the Dinos are inside the 5-yard line.
And that's one thing you couldn't do is give up a long pass play. And Chance Lechema goes up, comes up with it, rolls all the way down to the 4-yard line, and Carbon is knocking on the door once again.
A minute 15 and counting. Carbon's offense is yet to score a touchdown. It was a defensive score. Emery's going to load the box. Hand off to Colin Lewis. Moves the pile forward into the end zone. Touchdown, Carbon! 15-3, Dinos with a minute 5, and the student body is rabid.
Carbon has dominated this second quarter, Jordan. They come up with a special teams block, pick the ball up off Rance running, which I'm still okay with. It didn't work out, but Carbon goes down, puts points on the board. That's what you have to do. Points off turnovers, and that's twice tonight that Carbon scored a touchdown off turnovers.
The Dinos are looking for their first region win since 2000. Their first victory over Emory since 2001. It's a 15-game losing skid to the Spartans. And as we near the break, they lead by 12. Connor Fawcett to attempt the PAT, and he puts it right down the middle. 16-3, Carbon with the lead. A minute 5 to play in the first half. We're back in 30 seconds.
We love and worry about our children 24 hours a day. We do anything to help them succeed and reach their highest potential. At Castleview Physical Therapy, we're happy to announce the arrival of our new pediatric occupational therapist. If you've ever noticed or worried about developmental delays in your child, give Castleview PT a call and schedule an appointment for an evaluation. Occupational therapy in children can help improve their motor skills, play skills, and even their communication skills. Early intervention is a key to helping a child on their way to a happy, healthy life. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 637-4148.
The Dinos play here.
Jones drops back to pass. LeChaminade is open. Caught! Touchdown, Carbon!
On KRPX 95.3 The Peak.
16-3. Carbon over Emory. A minute 5 to play in the first half. The Dinos have made things happen with a fumble recovery for a touchdown, a blocked punt leading to 6 points. The offense took advantage.
And then Noah Jones to Colin Lewis with a little handoff, 4 yards out into the end zone. And we talked about in the open, Jordan, special teams and limiting turnovers were going to be huge. Carbon's took advantage of Emery's miscues. 1:05 left in the second quarter. It's 16-3.
Line drive kick to Zion Gibson. He's to the 20. Hands the football off. Going to the right side, it's Brazier. Trevin Brazier to the 40. Up to the 45, to the 47-yard line.
Little trickery. Got to get something sparked. And that's what Emery does, a little reverse handoff off the kickoff. So they're up to the 40-yard line. So we'll see if Emery can at least get an attempt to a field goal here in the second quarter, Emory 55 seconds off.
Using their youth, but as you said, trying some trickery, and why not? Last week, they had an onside kick that turned out to be the difference in the game based on the possession of time.
Yeah, very aggressive, so see what Emory does offensively.
Ball's at the 46. Emory on their own side of the field. 55 seconds, one timeout. Stilson to throw. Goes to the sideline, works it, passes complete to Seth Justice.
Late hit.
And Emory's sideline wants a flag for a late hit, and they may get it.
Yeah, Seth Justice was out of bounds. You can see him get tackled out of bounds, so Emory's going to get a penalty, and it's going to be positive yards for them.
Now, I don't know if you remember the game last season, but penalties aided Emory, which led to a Brock Winter field goal to close out the game. And this is a personal foul late hit against Carbon. And so now the ball's at the 35-yard line, roughly the 35. We'll see where they spot it. I think it was about at midfield when Justice went out of bounds and was hit.
Can you talk about last year where, yeah, the penalties really hampered Carbon, and they got Brock Winter into field goal range, and he kicks the game winner, and Emory comes out of that game with a victory.
It is a 52-yard field goal for Winter right now. The ball is at the 35-yard line. Stilson is back in the shotgun set with trips to the left. He's got time to throw. Fakes to the right. Throws across the center of the field. Caught by Brannon. Brannon, 20, 15, down to the 12-yard line. 43 seconds to play in the first half. And the Emory offense has to be slick. They have to be fast. They have to be efficient. Time is not on their side. 43 ticks, ball inside the 15, down to the 12-yard line. Stilson trying to get the offense to the hurry-up.
Yeah, Carbon had no help in the middle of the field. All you got to do is do a little slant pass into the middle. That's what they do. Success.
Stilson's going to throw again. He's got time. Flushed out to the left. Goes to the corner of the end zone to Justice. Incomplete.
Had it. Had him open for a split second. Overthrew him. And if he comes out with that ball, he's going to tippy-toe the sideline. I think he comes up with it in the end zone.
A little bit too much mustard.
Penalty.
Flag is down, and this is against Carbon. They called a personal foul once again against Carbon.
Coach Huntsman on the sideline want an explanation. I do, too, because I didn't see much physically, the quarterback get knocked out or anything, so...
I was in the vicinity of holding.
So that's two penalties, personal foul penalties on Carbon in this, last gas for Emory in the second quarter that might come back and bite him, and Emory can get some momentum going into the halftime.
28 seconds on the game clock. Now, the clock will be stopped based on the previous play, which was an incomplete pass. This ball is spotted, should be at about the 6-yard line. It'll be half the distance to the goal. I believe Emory was at the 12, right? Yeah, so it should be about the 6-yard
line.
Now, you mentioned the Wildcat. That's where they spotted at six. I'm sure Carbon is aware of it in this situation with 28 seconds with Rance Jensen in the backfield.
I used it a lot last week against Judge. Emory had success with it. Rance scored on the in the first half on the Wildcat, second half as well.
And the clock started moving, and that should not be the case. Well, it is the case. Well, I don't know if that's the case or not.
It should not be the case, no.
And that's what the coaching staff is yelling for. So Emory had to use their last time out.
Kyson Stilton now 8 of 11, 75 yards in this first half. James Bowman still the 2 carries, 16 yards. Rance Jensen, 9 carries, 24 yards. I like to look at his average yards. He's at 2.66. Brock Winter, 1 rushing attempt, 13 yards.
23 ticks to play in the first half.
James Bowman still has the 4 catches for 44 yards. And Jeremy Brannon, 1 catch for 23. Seth Justice and Zion Gibson both with 1 catch for 4 yards.
So it is Emory football at the 6-yard line. They have no timeouts remaining. I'm waiting to see if the officials are going to put more time on the clock. I believe they will.
Should be 28.
Should put 5 seconds back on that clock.
Yeah.
White Hat is waiting. He's standing at the 20-yard line. Emory's offense is set, lined up, ready to go.
Still waiting.
And they're going to leave it at 23 seconds. If you're Coach Famalo, you say, wait a second, the clock's moving. I wanted the timeout as soon as the clock was ready to go. And now the official is talking. He's going to put more time on the clock. Up to 25 seconds.
Got to be 28. I think the official's trying to get the attention.
He's trying to get it up to 28 seconds.
Yeah.
Little stoppage. Now, if you're Carbon, you love this because Emory was rolling
offensively. Emory's offense was, rolling. So if you're Carbon, you get set, you get a little breather, for Emory, you got to be a little upset with what's going on with the clock issue. Good first half, though, for the Dinos. Special teams wide defensively came out, blocked the punt. The punt miscue, but Connor Fawcett, 27-yard field goal, he made that one. He has 4 points in the game with the extra point in the long field goal.
Well, Emory trying to punch one in. Stilson takes the snap, throws to the end zone to Bowman. Caught, touchdown, Emory!
Reminiscent of last week, Jordan.
Had man-to-man coverage on the left side. Stilson finds Bowman. That's a game changer. It was 16-3 Carbon with 1:05 to play in the first half, and the Spartans take the ball right down the field and get it back down to a one-possession game. The student body doesn't like it. You hear the boos, and we'll see if Brock Winter can boot this through and make it a six-point game. Boy, that is a huge, huge possession by Emory.
Stilson takes that two-step drop and goes to that corner of the end zone. That's how they won the game last week on that game winner. It's Stilson to Bowman. Same play, go up, let Bowman get it. He has the size advantage and the strength to go up and get it.
Emory's going to fake it. They go for two. Stilson throws it. It's incomplete.
They had it. They had
it. I don't know if that was a design fake.
It looked like the snap was a little bit low. Had to pick the ball up off the ground. If he gets that completion, they have it. So
that's a big, big special teams play by Carbon once again. Jot that down. Vinny Rondinelli, who I typically share the broadcast booth with, would say that is a hidden play. I want you to remember that one because it's a 7-point Dino lead as we get down to the final 20 seconds of the first half.
Yeah, a huge point left on the board by the Emory Spartans heading into the halftime break, so Vinny's right.
Hidden plays. That can decide high school football. That is definitely going to be one of them.
Just little plays like that, Jordan, can change games, and we've seen it so far. It's changed special teams has been the, you know, the reason why Carbon's winning.
20 ticks in the first half. Carbon has been in a situation like this before. And what they have done is played it safe, killed the clock, and went into halftime. I would expect they do the same with a 7-point lead, knowing that Emory gets the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, don't take any chances of turning the ball over and allowing Emory to take one shot in the end zone.
Winter will kick it from his own 40. Jalen Dennis is back to return.
Look for a squib.
It is a line driver. It takes a bounce at the 10, dies. Dennis picks it up to the 15, 20. Tries to bring it to the right side. Gets the space at the edge. He's to the 30, 40, 50. To the Emory 40-yard line and shoved out of bounds with 11 seconds to play in the first half. Carbon Special Teams is doing the work tonight. And because of that, Jalen Dennis has put Corbin in a position to get some points back.
Plenty of time left, 11 seconds, one timeout, or they had a timeout, but they can move this ball and pick up 15, 20 yards and get a field goal and regain that 10-point lead.
So they spotted at the 42 officially.
Speed kills him. Dennis has a lot of speed.
Oh,
he gets
does
to the outside edge. Carbon does a good job of getting the blockers up front. Emory's back half of the special teams has to come up and push him out of bounds.
Jones out of the shotgun. Lewis is the deep back. Jones fakes it left, fires right. LeCheminon is in the vicinity. Pass is intercepted. It's intercepted by Jordan Ecker. And that is a phenomenal. Oh, they rule it incomplete?
They said it hit the ground.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That ball did not touch the ground.
I don't think it did. I thought Ecker came up with a tremendous interception. Nonetheless, it'll work out for Emory and maybe even work out for Carbon. You have one more chance at the end zone.
That was that ball never touched the ground.
Ecker
came up with it, made a heck of a diving catch. Looked like the ball was just resting on the back of a Carbon defender for Chance LeCheminon, the intended wide receiver, and Ecker looked like he just rolled over and picked it off.
Hey, I will give Ecker a lot of credit because he had man-to-man coverage on Chance LeCheminon down the sideline. LeCheminon is a big fellow with sure hands, and Ecker, who again, youth, just a junior, one of the older players on this Emory defense, comes up with a big play. Timeout on the field. Carbon uses their last timeout. 6 seconds to play in the first half. Dino 16, Emory 9. Gives us a chance to give a shout-out to our sponsors in tonight's game, brought to you in part by Spectrum Paint, Price Pediatric Dental, CNT Auto Body, Landon's Diesel Service, the Emory County Sheriff's, AJ's, Bill's Home Furnishings, Pinnacle Nursing, Graco's, Pine Top Medical, Gateway Lanes, Grog's, and Tire King.
Very efficient first half by Noah Jones, 6 of 10, 95 yards in the first half. Running game-wise, not much going. Colin Lewis leads 5 carries, 13 yards.
We'll take a look at the entire first half statistics in just a moment. Dr. Blake Kilstead report coming up. Last play from scrimmage, Jalen Dennis on a halfback pass. He's got two players deep. This one knocked down. Big-time defensive play by Emory to close out the first half. Riggs Griffin goes up to knock it down, and the Spartans are back in it following a touchdown at the end of the first half.
Yeah, Emory bounces back after Carbon takes advantage of the blocked punt. They march right down the field, get an important touchdown. They trail 16-9 here at the half.
Dr. Blake Hillstead halftime report is coming up. We have an extended halftime tonight due to homecoming for the Dinos. But when we return, we'll look at the first half statistics. The score again right now, Carbon 16, Emory 9. More coming up on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and KRPX 95.3 The Peak.
Castle Valley Orthodontics is now Hillstead Orthodontics. This new name reflects Dr. Hillstead's commitment to his patients and this community. Other than some visible changes, there is no change in ownership or their wonderful staff. In addition, Hillstead Orthodontics will now be opening up additional clinical days each week to better accommodate their growing practice and their patients' busy schedules. After more than 30 years here in Price, Hillstead Orthodontics is looking forward to continuing to grow and serve this wonderful community. For an appointment, please call 637-2222.
The sports season is here, and if you're looking for a winning team when it comes to your vehicle's maintenance and repair, look for the team with the best credentials. Take your vehicle to J&D Automotive. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. They'll quickly get the problem diagnosed and get you the right parts for the job. So, if your car isn't playing up to your expectations, call a timeout and let J&D Automotive pick the perfect play to get you back driving down the road. Get your car to J&D Automotive today on Main Street in Castledale.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy extra crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
Flu season is just around the corner, and Gagan Family Medicine is here to answer your questions about the flu vaccine.
Do I need a flu vaccine every year?
Yes, the virus is different each year.
Can the flu shot give you the flu?
Absolutely not.
When should I get vaccinated?
Before the end of October.
Who should get vaccinated?
Everyone 6 months and older.
So plan to get your flu shot now. Gagan Family Medicine offers walk-in clinics on Thursday at both locations in Huntington and Price from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Keep the flu away this year with the help of Gagan Family Medicine.
We love and worry about our children 24 hours a day. We do anything to help them succeed and reach their highest potential. At Castleview Physical Therapy, we're happy to announce the arrival of our new pediatric occupational therapist. If you've ever noticed or worried about developmental delays in your child, give Castleview PT a call and schedule an appointment for an evaluation. Occupational therapy in children can help improve their motor skills, play skills, and even their communication skills. Early intervention is a key to helping a child on their way to a happy, healthy life. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 637-4148.
With all of the electronic devices running nonstop in your house, chances are you regularly go over your data limit. Did you know there is really no need to keep paying those overage fees? For existing Emory Telecom customers, just $10 more per month gives you an unlimited data package. No more overages, no more worry. Just fast and dependable internet that you've come to expect from Emory Telecom. To upgrade your internet service, give them a call today at 613-9605. Ask about how you can save even more on your monthly bill. Emory Telecom, keeping you connected.
Why does Spectrum Paint only sell high-end paint products and supplies? The answer to that question is you, the consumer. Spectrum Paint believes in doing the job right, so you don't spend double the amount of money doing the same job twice. So resurface that deck, paint that new remodeled kitchen, and the new treehouse you just built for your children. Let the experts, Art, Eric, and Kim, get you the right materials and, most importantly, the knowledge to do your next project right the first time. Spectrum Paint, 80 South 100 West, just over the railroad tracks.
Castle Valley Orthodontics is now Hillstead Orthodontics. This new name reflects Dr. Hillstead's commitment to his patients and this community. Other than some visible changes, there is no change in ownership or their wonderful staff. In addition, Hillstead Orthodontics will now be opening up additional clinical days each week to better accommodate their growing practice and their patients' busy schedules. After more than 30 years here in Price, Hillstead Orthodontics is looking forward to continuing to grow and serve this wonderful community. For an appointment, please call 637-2222.
It's the Halftime Report with Jordan Buscarini.
Halftime at Carbon High School. Right now, the Dinos lead the Spartans 16-9. Time for the Dr. Blake Hillstead Halftime Report. What an entertaining ball game up to this point, Travis.
Very fun first half. Special teams has been the key early on. Carbon comes up with a block punt. They get the touchdown. Pick up the fumble, so very good first half by both. Defensive battle, I expect the same. Low scoring in the second half.
Okay, let's take a look at the first half statistics individually. I want to begin with Carbon. Jalen Dennis was the starting quarterback tonight. He played one series. They go back to Noah Jones. Talk to me about the quarterback play from Carbon High School.
I just felt that Coach felt that Noah had the more experience playing the first four games at the quarterback positions, and it worked out well. Noah Jones, first half, 6 of 10, 95 yards, averaging 16 yards per pass. Jalen Dennis in his series, 1 of 3, 8 yards. So Noah Jones looks comfortable in the pocket through that late that I thought was an interception. Wasn't ruled an interception, but Noah looks very poised in the pocket.
As far as Emory goes, Kyson Stilson, he has been the man under center all night for Emory. He's been efficient as well.
Yeah, 9 of 12, 81 yards, had the long of 23 yards and the one touchdowns, and he looks good as well. Didn't force the issue. We've seen a couple plays early on in the season where he's forced balls in tight pockets. Tonight, not so much.
He did connect with James Bowman for the lone touchdown for Emory in the first half. And you mentioned it was very similar to what happened last week at Judge Memorial. Emory has taken advantage of James Bowman having man-to-man coverage on the outside. Safety help for Carbon has worked the opposite side because Emory is lining up trips and moving Bowman out to the opposite side to get their best athlete man-to-man coverage. And it's worked.
Yeah, it's a two-step drop by Stilson. He's playing jump ball with Bowman. And Bowman has a little bit of height and strength to go up. Good hands, goes up, gets the football, and it's always towards that corner of the end zone. Worked out well. James Bowman, 5 catches, 50 yards, and the lone touchdown for Emory.
Let's talk about the rushing attack from both teams, and we will begin with the Carbon Dinos. Colin Lewis and Riker Larson, there's a three-headed monster possibility for Carbon. Riddick McGlory has been a little bit quiet, but that's okay because Lewis and Larson have not.
Yeah, Colin Lewis, Emory did a good job bottling him up. 5 attempts, 13 yards. And Colin still might be a little bit hurt. We know he got the knee injury last week. It looks like maybe that might be hampering him a little bit. But 5 carries, 13 yards, had the long run of 7 yards, but had the touchdown.
Let's look at the rushing attack for Emory, because Rance Jensen, he managed to get better as the game went on. It was a slow start for Rance. The first quarter, Carbon had him under wraps. About midway through the second quarter, when Emory started moving the ball, not just between the 20s, but actually getting into the red zone, a lot of it had to do with Rance opening up the passing game with his efficiency on the ground.
He had 9 attempts, 24 yards, and I always look at his average yards per carry. He's around 2.66. Last year, average 4.23, so I think you're going to have a heavy dose of Rance in the second half, getting him going a little bit. So, yeah, 9 carries, 24 yards in the first half. It was Zion Gibson had 3 attempts, 21 yards, 3 attempts on those jet sweeps.
I know that early, again, when I mentioned the struggles and Carbon really keying in on Rance Jensen, it was Zion Gibson that they had to rely on to get the offense rolling. And I also want to point out, it was Zion Gibson who picked up a short kick and delivered the handoff on a reverse to set up the last score for Emory on special teams. I think Zion Gibson is kind of an unsung hero. He's done things for Emory that aren't going to jump out at you at the box score. May not even show up at the box score, but he's been great for Emory tonight.
He has done the little things. Little things like that, like you said, pitches the ball, allows Emory to pick up a few more chunk of yards. So I think in the second half as well that Gibson with Rance, a heavy dose of those two, and then it can set up Bowman with your short yardage situation on the slants and the curl routes.
We talked about Noah Jones. We talked about Kyson Stilson. Let's talk about their targets on the outside. We'll begin with Carbon. Again, offensively, it hasn't been Carbon's best game. The defense has definitely helped them. Special teams has definitely helped them. But who does Noah Jones have an eye for in the first half?
Number one, Jalen Dennis. Two catches, 48 yards, averaging 24 yards on the pass catches. So I think for Carbon, Colin Lewis is 2 for 31, but I think Jalen Dennis with his speed and the way that he has the athleticism, he can make short yardage things into big chunk yards for the Dinos in the second half.
For Emory?
Emory, you got to go to James Bowen, their main target wide receiver, possession wide receiver. He's on the outside. He's their best outside wide receiver, has the size to go up for jump ball situations when Emory's in a third and long situation.
Let's take a look at the overall game statistics. Now, Carbon leads 16-9. Here on the Dr. Blake Hillstead Halftime Report. But Travis, the numbers would indicate that Emory has been the more efficient team offensively in this game.
Yeah, Emory, 9 first down to Carbon, 6 is passing first downs. Both of those are 4 for, 4 for Emory and 4 for Carbon. Third down efficiency is huge. Carbon's 1 of 6, Emory's 2 of 7. So Emory's a 1 better, but that's key because both teams have been in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15 zone.
So when you look at it,
total yards is close, though. 143 to 114 in favor of Emory.
But when we look at possessions and the time of possession, which offense has been more impressive to you over the first two quarters? I almost think, Travis, I'm going to give you my opinion before we go to you. I think it's been the tale of two quarters. I thought Carbon was more impressive offensively in the first quarter. I thought Emory was more impressive in the second quarter on the offensive side of the ball.
No, I'm with you. Emory was much better in the second quarter than Carbon. Carbon just took advantage, of the block punt, but Emory responded back. They move the ball downfield to get in the end zone, but I thought Emory was more impressive in the second quarter. Time of possession, Emory 15 minutes, 49 seconds. Carbon, 8 minutes, 11 seconds.
Now, of course, we are going to talk about, as Vinny would say, the hidden plays. Let's go to it. Carbon, special team-wise, has been dynamic in this contest. They had the block punt. They had the Connor Fawcett field goal. It's a big difference so far in this game. Special teams, Jalen Dennis had a nice kick return. He was able to take it to midfield. Special teams have been huge for both teams because we can't forget the Brock winner put through a 41-yard field goal.
He did, booted that through, but the hidden play, like Vinny talked about, is leaving that point on the board. We're at 16-9 with the fumbled snap on the extra point conversion attempt, and looked like Emory had a chance to complete it. The ball just floundered to the ground, so 16-9. We'll see how big that point comes back to be.
Defensively, Carbon has been so great in this game. I mean, they've had multiple key stops, and then, of course, Emory trying to run the option. Kyson Stilson goes to the right, waits for the defense to suck in, makes a pitch, an attempted pitch to the backfield to Rance Jensen. It was partially tipped. Colin Lewis picked it up and took it the rest of the way for 6. That was the first touchdown of the ball game, and that was the first big momentum swing that we saw tonight.
Yeah, that little pitch play that the Carbon defenders knocked down. The ball squirts into the backfield. Colin Lewis, all he has to do is scoop and score. Exactly what he did. Took advantage of a miscue by the Emory Spartans. And it got this place riled up, and Emory did a good job responding back and putting a touchdown on the board themselves.
Now, you talked about this stadium getting rabid, getting into the game. We are sitting on the Carbon side. Now, the Emory faithful have traveled well for tonight's contest.
They're loud over there.
They are loud over there. It is loud over here. There's not a lot of spots available. This is almost capacity here at Carbon High. When you take a look at the grass is packed, the bleachers in front of us are completely packed, and there's a big contingent of Emory fans on the opposite side of the field. Boy, it's been fun tonight.
It has. It's a great turnout. It's a nice September evening. It's cool. The wind's just blowing just a little bit. You couldn't ask for anything better. And we got a great first half of football at 16-9. I mean, that was well played.
Absolutely. Dr. Blake Hillstead, halftime report. We got to take another quick commercial break. We'll come back, and I'll ask Travis. We'll get his opinion on what both teams have to do in order to get a victory. Right now, Carbon out on front, 16-9 over Emory at halftime on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and KRPX 95.3 The Peak.
Time to cook breakfast. Getting kids out the door and yourself ready for work, your favorite meal of the day doesn't happen very often. No worries, because with Big Mo's, you can have breakfast for lunch. They serve breakfast all day long. Warm, fluffy pancakes, eggs just the way you want them, crisp bacon, and hash browns cooked to perfection. The most important meal of the day is now moving to lunchtime. Don't worry about your hurried morning. Big Mo's has breakfast waiting for you on your lunch break. Big Mo's, find them on 700 East in Price.
Price Pediatric Dental is excited to welcome a new dentist to their team, Dr. Bryce Bott. Dr. Bott grew up in Brigham City and was inspired to become a dentist at an early age. He attended the University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Dental Medicine and went on to receive pediatric specialty training at the University of Nebraska. He loves being a pediatric dentist because he can work with the most kind, happy, and entertaining population. To schedule an appointment with Dr. Bott, call Price Pediatric Dental today at 637-9590.
Great teamwork is a part of winning. Let C&T Auto Body be a part of your winning team. Working together with you and your insurance company after an accident, C&T Auto Body can get you back on the road in no time. The specially trained team at C&T Auto Body uses water-based paint, just like the car manufacturers, so you know the color will be right the first time. No insurance hassles, professional-friendly service, and getting your vehicle back on the road as quick as possible is C&T Auto Body's guarantee to you. Make C&T Auto Body a part of your team. Find them two doors south of Sutherland.
Hey, we know you love easy, and we know you love great food. So did you know that Grog's can make all of your loves come together? If you're planning a special event or company meeting, let Grog's take care of the food for you with their catering services. No one can beat the delicious menu options at Grog's, and we all know Grog's is the best place in town to eat. But you can also enjoy Grog's delicious menu at your own meeting or special event. Give them a call today at 637-2924 and get started. Grog's, they'll cater to you. Call 637-2924.
You never know what lies on the road ahead. But with Craco's Tire Pros, you'll be able to tackle anything in your path. They're celebrating you. Craco's Tire Pros has had your support for 40 years. So don't miss out on their 40th anniversary customer appreciation event all month long. Through September 30th, get up to an $80 mail-in rebate when you purchase a select set of Goodyear and Dunlop tires. Use your Goodyear credit card and increase your rebate to $160. Remember, Craco's hassle-free warranty. See participating stores for complete details. Void where prohibited.
It's back to school time, and it seems all we think about is getting the kids everything they need. Back to school clothes, school supplies, checkups, vaccinations, and now that they are back in school, Mom, it's time to think about you. Hi, this is Janice Pitchforth, nurse practitioner with Pine Top Medical. A healthy mom is just as important to a successful school year as a healthy kid. So please give me a call today. Let's set up an appointment for a checkup. Life just got crazier with all the activities that come with back to school. Make sure you are healthy enough to keep up with it all. Give us a call at 637-5690.
The Dinos play here.
Jones drops back the pass. Blashavanat is open. Caught! Touchdown, Corbett!
On KRPX 95.3 The Peak.
Also on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Emory High School football, Carbon High School football, Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson on the Dr. Blake Hillstead halftime report. Travis, we went over the first half statistics. I want your opinion on the second half. Let's start with Emory. What do they have to do to come back and get a win here on the road tonight?
Emory's got an established run early on and limit the turnovers and the mistakes. They clean up that part. I think they give themselves a great chance to come out of Carbon with a win. So give a heavy dose of rants.
You want them to run the football. Here's the idea.
Control the clock. Yeah.
Well, with it being a one-possession game, you can. That's how big that touchdown was at the end of the first half.
Yeah, control the clock because that's what Emory did. Emory is a very good team with possession, controlling the flow, and not giving opponents that many touches in the second half. So Rance Jensen in a time of possession.
Let's talk about the Carbon Dinos. They lead 16-9. Emotions are high. It's homecoming anyway. You have the advantage with multiple big plays defensively and special team-wise. The offense has also had its moments. What do you want to see from Carbon in the second half?
Stay aggressive. They were very aggressive in the first half. So if you're Carbon, you're on the cusp of getting that region win, getting the coal bucket back. So if I'm Coach Huntsman in the Carbon Dinos, I'm aggressive.
Again, halftime here at Carbon High School. We're about 3 minutes away from the start of the second half. The Dinos will take the field again in just a moment. Emory has already taken the field. They are on the opposite sideline. Emory will get the ball to start the second half. Before we take our last commercial break, you say you want a heavy dose of Rance Jensen. I want to point this out. Field position, it definitely favored Carbon in that first quarter, and that's where they did the majority of their damage.
And that's one thing that has hurt Emory early on in the season is opponents are starting around their 40-yard line. So they have a short field to go. So Emory, control the field position. Get Rance Jensen the ball early on because once Rance gets going early on, it opens up everything else for Kyson Stilton in that offense.
The hidden plays that we have talked about again and again, Emory's defense actually forced a turnover with the interception.
Yeah.
Carbon special team forced the one Emory turnover. Right now, the way I view it, I know Carbon has a 16-9 lead, but with Emory getting the ball to start the second half, I'm going to just wipe it all out and say whoever wins the turnover battle in the second half probably comes out on top tonight.
Yeah, I think it's important if Cardman can force Emory to a three and out early on and keep that momentum going for them. For Emory, you can really blow a dagger to the Cardman side by coming out and scoring quickly.
We're about 3 minutes away from the start of the second half. Again, an extended halftime tonight because of homecoming. And, Travis, I want you to talk about this. Emory 1-0 in region play, Cardman 0-1. If Emory was to get a win tonight, they would be 2-0 without playing a home game in region. If Cardman was to get a win tonight, they would control their own destiny for a home playoff game because they still get Judge Memorial, who's having a down year. That's the importance of tonight's game.
Tonight is so huge. Like you said, Emory can come out and get two road region wins to start the region season back-to-back without even playing a home game for Cardman. They have a chance to win this one. And like you said, Judge is down. Number-wise, Cardman has a better football team than Judge.
You think so?
I do. I really believe after watching tonight that Cardman is better than Judge. So it's important for both schools.
You had the call last week with Emory and Judge, so you got a good look at the Judge Memorial Bulldogs. And we can't forget last week that, Emory looked good in the second half.
They did. They came out and they punched Judge in the mouth. Ran the football right at him, and Judge couldn't stop him. Number-wise, Judge is down, so Emory took control of that, wore down Judge, and came out with a win.
We are about 2 minutes away from the start of the second half. We're going to break for 60 seconds. When we come back, it'll be Emory football. Cardman will kick away to the Spartans, and we'll get the second half off and rolling in what's been a phenomenal night of football up to this point in time. Cardman 16, Emory 9, second half coming up in 60 seconds.
As a mom, I felt like my kids were slipping away. I just wanted to spend time with them. But with our fast-paced life, it just wasn't possible. Besides, what kid wants to hang out with their mom? That was until I found the Price Theaters. So now I take time with each of my kids and take them to a movie. No, we can't talk during the movie, but we're together, and the conversation afterwards is the best. So as one busy mom to another, take your kid to the movies tonight. It'll give you things to talk about for a lifetime.
Castle Valley Orthodontics is now Hillstead Orthodontics. This new name reflects Dr. Hillstead's commitment to his patients and this community. Other than some visible changes, there is no change in ownership or their wonderful staff. In addition, Hillstead Orthodontics will now be opening up additional clinical days each week to better accommodate their growing practice and their patients' busy schedules. After more than 30 years here in Price, Hillstead Orthodontics is looking forward to continuing to grow and serve this wonderful community. For an appointment, please call 637-2222.